Let's read together Psalms 132, 133, and 134. These three psalms conclude the psalms or songs of ascent. Remember, the songs of ascent included the 15 psalms of Psalm 120 through Psalm 134. Let's begin by reading Psalm 134, which forms a fitting benediction to the pilgrim psalms or songs of ascent. Behold, bless the Lord, all you servants of the Lord, who by night stand in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. The Lord who made heaven and earth, bless you from Zion. Let's begin our study of these psalms with some background notes for Psalm 134. Psalm 134 is a fitting concluding psalm for the songs of ascent. Because if indeed these psalms were sung by the pilgrims coming up to Jerusalem on the feast days, then this last song of ascent was probably written or at least chosen to be sung as the pilgrims departed from Jerusalem to go back home after the feasts. The priests and Levites who would remain on in Jerusalem were exhorted in this psalm to bless the Lord continually on behalf of the nation, including the priests and Levites who served at the temple of the Lord at night. Remember, the worship of the Lord was to be continual, as it should be in our lives as well. In verse 3, we have either the pilgrims calling on the Lord to bless the Levites and priests, or a response from the Levites and priests themselves, calling on the Lord to bless the people as they began their journey back home. In any case, Psalm 134 is a fitting closing and benediction to the songs of ascent. And that brings us to our doctrinal points, which will come from Psalm 132, which concerns the Davidic covenant. Let's read Psalm 132, verses 1 through 12. Lord, remember David and all his afflictions, how he swore to the Lord and vowed to the Mighty One of Jacob, truly I will not go into the chamber of my house or go up to the comfort of my bed. I will not give sleep to my eyes or slumber to my eyelids until I find a place for the Lord, a dwelling place for the Mighty One of Jacob. Behold, we heard of it in Ephrathah. We found it in the fields of the woods, or in Sha'ar. Let us go into his tabernacle. Let us worship at his footstool. Arise, O Lord, to your resting place, you and the ark of your strength. Let your priests be clothed with righteousness, and let your saints shout for joy. For your servant David's sake, do not turn away the face of your anointed. The Lord has sworn in truth to David. He will not turn from it. I will set upon your throne the fruit or offspring of your body, if your sons will keep my covenant and my testimony which I shall teach them. Their sons also shall sit upon your throne forevermore. Let's consider two doctrinal points concerning the Davidic covenant from this Song of Ascents, Psalm 132. Doctrinal point number one, the Davidic covenant was made in response to David's priorities. The Davidic covenant was made in response to David's priorities. In the first five verses of this psalm, we read of David's zeal for bringing the Ark of the Covenant up to Jerusalem. Remember the afflictions he experienced at first in trying to transport the Ark in the wrong way when Uzzah was killed as he touched the Ark. You can read about that event in 2 Samuel chapter 6. I'm reading from 2 Samuel chapter 6, beginning with verse 1. Again, David gathered all the choice men of Israel, 30,000. And David arose and went with all the people who were with him to Baal Judah to bring up from there the Ark of God, whose name is called by the name the Lord of Hosts, who dwells between the cherubim. So they set the Ark of God on a new cart and brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was on the hill, and Uzzah and Ahio, the sons of Abinadab, drove the new cart. And they brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was on the hill, accompanying the ark of God, and Ahio went before the ark. Then David and all the house of Israel played music before the Lord on all kinds of instruments of fir wood, on harps, on stringed instruments, on tambourines, on sistrums, and on cymbals. And when they came to Nachan's threshing floor, Uzzah put out his hand to the ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen stumbled. Then the anger of the Lord was aroused against Uzzah, and God struck him there for his error or his irreverence, and he died there by the ark of God. And David became angry because of the Lord's outbreak against Uzzah, and he called the name of the place Perez Uzzah to this day. David was afraid of the Lord that day, and he said, "How can the ark of the Lord come to me?" So David would not move the ark of the Lord with him into the city of David, but David took it aside into the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite. The ark of the Lord remained in the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite 3 months, and the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and all his household. From 2 Samuel chapter 6, verses 1 through 11. Now in verses 2 through 5 of Psalm 132, we see David's total dedication to build a great temple for the Lord. After all, in the ancient Near East, the glory of a nation's temple reflected the glory of that nation's God. We see in verse 4 that David lost sleep because of his occupation with plans for the Lord's house. How many of us have lost sleep in our zeal for the Lord's things? The thought in verse 6 seems to be that some Israelites from Ephrathah, the area around Bethlehem, went to Jaar, that is the area of Kiriath-Jearim, where the Ark of the Covenant had been for 20 years, including the 3 months after the death of Uzzah, who wrongly touched the Ark. From Kiriath-Jearim and the house of Obed-Edom, David brought the Ark up to Jerusalem, which God had chosen for his dwelling place among his people. That truth is recognized in verses 7 through 9 of this psalm, which would have been sung by the pilgrims as they stood in the temple area. Let's read those verses once again. Verses 7 through 9 of Psalm 132. "Let us go into his tabernacle. Let us worship at his footstool. Arise, O Lord, to your resting place, you in the ark of your strength. Let your priests be clothed with righteousness, and let your saints shout for joy." In verses 10 through 12, we see the Lord's response to David's great desire to honor the Lord with the building of a home for the Lord in Jerusalem. God said that he would build a house for David, that is, a dynasty, and it would continue as long as David's descendants followed the Lord. Now, we know that David's descendants did not follow the Lord faithfully, but the Davidic covenant is still valid because Christ is in the line of David. And when the Lord returns, the Davidic throne will be reestablished in Jerusalem, and the Lord will be king forever. You can read about the Davidic covenant in 2 Samuel chapter 7, verses 12 through 17. I'm reading from 2 Samuel chapter 7, beginning with verse 12, the Lord speaking to David. "When your days are fulfilled, and you rest with your fathers, I will set up your seed after you, who will come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be his father, and he shall be my son. If he commits iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men and with the blows of the sons of men. But my mercy shall not depart from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I removed from before you. And your house and your kingdom shall be established forever before you. Your throne shall be established forever. According to all these words and according to all this vision, so Nathan spoke to David." From 2 Samuel chapter 7, verses 12 through 17, where the Lord spoke to David through Nathan the prophet, the Davidic covenant. Now, although the building of the temple was left to David's son Solomon, David's zeal and dedication was rewarded with God's promise of the Davidic covenant. The Davidic covenant was made in response to David's priorities. Doctrinal point number 2. The Davidic covenant is fulfilled in reference to David's progeny. The Davidic covenant is fulfilled in reference to David's progeny, that is, offspring or descendants. Let's read verses 13 through 18. Psalm 132, beginning now with verse 13. "For the Lord has chosen Zion. He has desired it for his dwelling place. This is my resting place forever. Here I will dwell, for I have desired it. I will abundantly bless her provision. I will satisfy her poor with bread. I will also clothe her priests with salvation, and her saints shall shout aloud for joy. There I will make the horn of David grow. I will prepare a lamp for my anointed. His enemies I will clothe with shame, but upon himself his crown shall flourish. In verses 13 through 16, we see that God has chosen Zion, that is Jerusalem, as his special habitation forever. From Jerusalem, blessing would flow out to all in need. The priests and saints will sing for joy. How and when will all this blessing take place? It certainly cannot be said of Jerusalem today. Verses 17 and 18 give the answer. There I will make the horn of David grow. I will prepare a lamp for my anointed. His enemies I will clothe with shame, but upon himself his crown shall flourish. These verses will be fulfilled in the progeny of David, specifically the horn of David, that would spring forth as a strong ruler and as a lamp, that is, as a leader of God's people. This descendant, of course, is the Lord himself. When the Lord returns, the Davidic covenant will be completely fulfilled. In that day, all enemies will be put down and the Lord will be crowned. Verse 18, his enemies I will clothe with shame, but upon himself his crown shall flourish. The Davidic covenant is fulfilled in reference to David's progeny. Let's move now to our practical application, which will be taken from Psalm 133. Keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. This practical application comes right from Ephesians chapter 4, verse 3, which says, "Endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." This is an exhortation to all believers in the body of Christ. Unity amongst believers is pleasing to the Lord, as we see here in Psalm 133. Let's read this short psalm. Psalm 133, beginning with verse 1. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious oil upon the head, running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the edge of his garments. It is like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore. The reference to oil in verse 2 here in Psalm 133 is to the anointing oil that was used in the consecration of Aaron as the high priest in Israel. See Leviticus chapter 8 in this connection. The oil would flow down onto the robe of Aaron and over the breastplate, which contained the 12 precious stones representing all Israel, a beautiful picture of unity. The oil, which so often represents the Holy Spirit in Scripture, covering the stones of the 12 tribes, pictures the unity of the Spirit. Mount Hermon in the north of Israel received heavy dew, which contributed to the natural blessing of the whole land of Israel. In the same way, unity among God's people refreshes and blesses God's people and allows them to be fruitful. So be diligent to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace.